الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى الشرط التاسع, الشرط التاسع, the ninth condition, النية, النية ومحلها القلب وتلفظ بها بدعة. The author, he says, the ninth condition is the intention, and its place is in the heart, and to pronounce it on the tongue is an innovation. والدليل الحديث, and the evidence is the narration, إنما العمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى, is the narration that indeed the actions are by way of the intentions, and every individual he will have what he had intended. And every individual he will have what he had intended. So this is the ninth condition, and the last condition that we study in these conditions of the prayer, for the correctness of the prayer, and it is an-niyya. And the niyya, linguistically, it means the qasd, yani the intention, what a person he wants, what a person he intends. And the people of knowledge, they mention that legislatively it is العزم على فعل العبادة تقربا إلى الله عز وجل. العزم على فعل العبادة, العزم على فعل العبادة تقربا إلى الله عز وجل, that a person, he will have strong determination and resolve in his heart, and he will make the intention certainly that he is going to perform an action of worship seeking nearness to Allah, seeking nearness to Allah. العزم على فعل العبادة, that a person, he will have strong resolve and determination and the intention in his heart to perform an action of worship. تَقَرُّبًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in general, and legislatively. But with regards to the prayer, النِّيَّةُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ هِيَ عَقْدُ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ بِعَيْنِهَا عَقْدًا جَازِمًا تَقَرُّبًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَقْدًا جَازِمًا تقربا لله عز وجل. النية في الصلاة, what is intended here, and the intention in the prayer, عقد القلب على الصلاة بعينها عقدا جازما, that a person, he would intend with his heart certainly to perform a particular prayer, to perform a salat, a specific prayer, and it would be a certain intention, تقربا لله عز وجل, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this definition we see the application of what the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the intention is two types. An-niyatu naw'ani, that the intention is two types. Niyatu al-ma'muli lah wa niyatu al-amal. Niyatu al-ma'muli lah wa niyatu al-amal, the intention of whom the action is performed for, and the intention of performing the action. And the intention of performing the action. So niyatul ma'amuli lahu, this one is the intention of whom the action is performed for. It's also known as niyatul taqarrub. Niyatul taqarrub, the intention of seeking nearness, yani of seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. The intention of seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Also it's known as al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, purity and sincerity of intention. Purity and sincerity of intention. So this one is the condition for the correctness of every action of worship. This intention here is the condition for the correctness of every action of worship. That it must be performed sincerely for the sake of Allah. That the one whom a person is performing the action of worship for is Allah alone and no one else. And the one whom he's seeking their reward from, and the one whom he is trying to draw near to, and the one whom he hopes will see him and accept from him, is Allah alone and no one else. Is Allah alone and no one else. So this is the intention of al-ikhlas, that must be purely in sincerity for the sake of Allah. A person, he must perform the deed for the sake of Allah alone. And this is the intention that is discussed and studied in the books of al-tawheed, in the books of al-aqidah, and the likes like this. But whenever the intention is mentioned in the books of fiqh, the terminology of the fuqaha, what is intended is the other intention. And that's what is intended here likewise, al-niyyah. يعني في الصلاة نية العمل. But in reality, it's encompassing both actions. It's encompassing both actions, يعني, or both intentions. But نية العمل is the intention for the action itself. That a person, he will identify in his heart the action that he's performing. He'll identify in his heart the action that he is performing. So therefore, the definition of the intention, al-niyyatu fi salah, the intention in the salah, is that a person, he will determine in his heart and have the intention, a strong determination and resolve, yani it will be a certain intention to perform the prayer, a specific prayer, yani the salah, yani meaning that this is what he has decided he will do, to perform a salah. And he will do that seeking nearness to Allah. So now this includes both aspects of the intention. The first one is to identify the action that is salah. And the second one is to identify the one whom it's being performed for. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in this definition, it includes both aspects of the niyyah. Niyyatul ma'mulillah and niyyatul amal. Niyyatul ma'mulillah, this one is even more emphasized. This one is even more emphasized. No action is accepted without this intention. No action is accepted without this intention. And this one is an intention that will always change on a person if he's not cautious. And this is the intention that Al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's referring to. Whenever he said, yani Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he's referring to whenever he said, ما عالجت شيئاً أشد علي من نيتي. I never treated anything or dealt with anything more severe or harsh upon me, any more difficult for me than my intention. فَإِنَّهَا تَتَقَلَّبُ عَلَيَّ. Because it's always changing on me. He's referring to this intention here. نِيَةُ الْمَعْمُولِ لَهُ. نِيَةُ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Because a person, maybe he'll begin with sincerity, and then he will find that he can perform some of these deeds that should be for the sake of Allah and find status in this worldly life. Or find position in the hearts of the people, or turn the faces of the people to him, or turn them in his direction with praise and with status and rank and position, so on and so forth. So now the intention may change. So now the intention may change. So a believer, he has to observe that affair. So a believer, he has to observe that affair and strive against his soul to purify his intention, to purify his intention. And the means, in summary, to purify this intention here, the intention of al-ikhlas, is that a person, he will be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the performance of the action of worship that he's engaged in. That he will first be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have a general encompassing intention that he will make all of his actions of worship for Allah alone. And he to implement his testimony of faith that he bears witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That he testifies that أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So we have the general intention to make all of his actions of worship for Allah alone. And then at the time of the performance of a specific action of worship, then he will bring that intention to mind. And he will be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive against the soul to remember the right of Allah and the favor of Allah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember all of the good that he has is from Allah azza wa jalla. And therefore he will begin to remember this affair, and he will recollect this intention, or he will draw this intention to mind, and now the love will come into his heart. And likewise, the hope for more of the blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal will arise in his heart and become strong. And also the fear that maybe he'll be taken to account for his shortcomings with regards to showing thanks to those blessings and performing the right of Allah properly will also grow in his heart. And now he'll be worshipping Allah truthfully and sincerely with love and hope and fear. So whenever the heart is full of the love of Allah and hoping for the reward from Allah, it's not looking for anything from the worldly life. Whenever the heart is afraid of the punishment of Allah and is fearing the meeting and standing before Allah, it's not thinking about or worried about what the people will blame him or say to him or say about him. Now the heart is directed entirely to Allah alone. This is the purity of intention. Now the intention is pure and is seeking the reward only for Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if a person, his heart turns to the creation, looking to the creation for praise, or for status, or for rank, or for position, and the likes like this, for an action of worship, then now he has turned the intention away from Allah. Now the intention has become corrupted. Now the intention has become tainted. Now the intention has يعني النية تكون مدخولة يعني فيها شيء فيها شيء meaning it's corrupted now. It has a weakness in it. It has a deficiency. Now it becomes tainted with the desire or the hope for something from the worldly life. With the desire or the hope for something from the worldly life. Likewise, this is what Sufyan al-Thawri as well, he mentioned, rahimahullah, about the most disgusting type of desire. Inna akbah al-ragbati and tutlab al-dunya bi'amil al-akhirah. That the most filthy or disgusting intention or desire is that a person he will seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. With the deeds of the hereafter. For example, the salah. The salah is from the deeds of the hereafter. This is an action that must be for the hereafter. It must be for the sake of Allah alone, seeking His pleasure and reward in the hereafter. I mean, to please Allah Azza wa Jal. So if a person, he were to beautify his prayer and to perform it in the best manner, hoping for the reward of Allah, remembering the favor and the blessing of Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah, this is called al-ihsan. This is called al-ihsan, mastering the worship and performing it in the best manner. And this is a high and lofty rank. But if a person now were to beautify a portion of that prayer so that people would see him and praise him, or like him, or prefer him, or give him position or rank in the likes like this, now he has turned that right, turned that action, that which is a right of Allah, and directed some of that to the creation by hoping for a reward from them. By now his heart is looking to that person that he's showing off for, and he's hoping for some type of reward and recompense from that person, whether he says something good about him, whether he has now good thoughts about him, or whether he has a position with him, or the likes like this. He's trying to find a place in the heart of that individual, a place in the heart of that individual with this action that is the right of Allah, with this action that is the right of Allah. So no doubt this is very disgusting. This is very disgusting and lowly. And this is from the tricks of the devil. And none of us should ever think that we're safe from that. And some of the salaf, they would mention that he would strive against his soul to remove the riyah from his heart, and it would come back in another form. It will grow in another form. It will grow in another form, in another color. So if he was strived, for example, at one time, was showing off in the prayer, meaning he would strive against that until he removed that entirety. But then it wouldn't be long, and that showing off would show up in another aspect. Maybe in teaching, or maybe in teaching the Quran, or maybe in teaching hadith, or maybe in charity, or maybe in here. So he will fight it and remove it from his heart from this aspect, and then it would grow and pop up in another aspect. And then he would fight it here like this, and then like this. It's a constant battle. It's a constant battle. So the Salaf, they used to be afraid from the shirk, and they used to look for it. And they used to look for it. And the one who looks for it like this, he'll begin to find it. And this is also what is intended by a number of the Salaf whenever they would mention about their own souls in a blameworthy manner. They would mention their own souls, and they would blame themselves, and they would find fault with their own souls, and mention that, yani, their souls were foul, or their souls, yani, were evil, and the likes like this. Because any the one who looks deeply, he will find that his soul is pulling to this. This is part of the challenge of life. This is part of the test, yani, to test the hearts. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ, on the day that the secrets are going to be tried. Any meaning they're going to be tested and clarified. So the heart, it must be for the sake of Allah. The heart, the intention, it must be for the sake of Allah. And likewise, following behind that, the actions as well must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in according to the legislation of Allah. And this is the issue here with regards to niyatul ma'mool ilah, or niyatul at-taqarrub, or niyatul الإخلاص. فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. So this is from that affair. But what is intended here specifically? نية العمل. الشرط التاسع النية. The ninth condition, the intention. What is intended here? نية العمل. نية العمل. The intention of the action itself. That a person, he has to identify the action that he's performing. Here he's performing salah. He has to identify that he is performing salah. He has to identify that he's performing the salah. The function of the niyyah in general is at-tamyiz wa ta'yin. Al-niyyah tumayyiz wa tu'ayyin al-ashya. Al-ashya. The niyyah, it distinguishes and identifies things. The niyyah, the intention, is in the heart. It distinguishes and identifies things. It distinguishes and identifies things. It will distinguish between actions of worship and everyday actions. Actions of worship and actions that are considered customs. Actions of worship that are intended to draw near to Allah by way of, and actions that are allowed and permissible from the everyday actions and deeds that are lawful and good. So the intention is going to identify and distinguish between these affairs. It's going to identify and distinguish between these affairs. Between these affairs. So maybe somebody, for example, one person, he's making a ghusl because he just got off work and his body is dirty. He wants to cleanse himself. This is something that's lawful. This is an adah. This type of ghusl here is an adah. It's just from the customs of the people. Somebody is dirty. Somebody is at work. He was sweaty, for example. He takes a shower to clean himself off. This is something that's lawful for him, and it's from the adat of the people, from the customs and the daily affairs. So there's no reward in that in general. This is not something that's considered an action of worship. But if he were to be upon a state of janabah, and now he is intending to remove that hadith, intending to remove that hadith, this is considered an action of worship. This is considered an action of worship. This is tahara. This is considered a tahara, and a tahara is an action of worship. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. So this is an action of worship. Or even if he didn't have a hadith, but he was making the ghusl on the Jumu'ah. This is likewise an action of worship, because this is from the sunan of Jumu'ah, that a person, he will make the ghusl. He will make the ghusl, and he would have the intention. So this one is done as a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. So two people could be taking the ghusl at the same time. Yani, one in his home and another in his home. And one of them has a reward for that, and he's drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking his pleasure. And another one, he is just doing an everyday action. He's just doing an everyday action. And that which identifies between the two is the intention. Is the intention. That which identifies and distinguishes between the two is the intention. Is the intention. Likewise, maybe somebody could come into the masjid and sit down waiting for the prayer. Sit down, he came to the masjid, he came early. So he's going to sit and wait for the prayer. And so now he's sitting waiting for the prayer. This is also an action of worship. He came to the masjid yani, in order to avoid the troubles of the society. He came to the masjid early in order to read the Quran, for example. And now he's waiting for the prayer, reading the book of Allah. This is an action of worship for him. He's sitting in the masjid and he's in the comfort of the house of Allah. And he is getting a reward. He's getting a reward. And there could be another person, maybe he's hot and he just wants to come into the masjid to cool off. He's hot, it's hot outside, and he, on his own intention, let me go inside and cool off. So he goes inside, he finds the AC on and it's nice and cool, and he sits down to enjoy the cool environment. So this person, he doesn't have a reward. It's not haram. But this is an adah. This intention here is not an intention to seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. So both of them come into the masjid. Both of them are sitting in the masjid. One of them is in a state of worship, drawing near to Allah. And the other one, he is just simply sitting there, enjoying the cool environment. So that which distinguishes between the two is the niyyah. So an-niyyatu tumayyizu bayna al-ibadati wal-adat. The intention distinguishes. The intention distinguishes between the actions of worship and the customs and everyday deeds. The customs and everyday deeds. Also, the niyyah and niyyah to mayyizu bayna al-ibadat. To mayyizu bayna al-ibadat. Also, the intention distinguishes between the types of worship. Bayna fardhiha wa nafliha. Bayna fardhiha wa nafliha. The intention also distinguishes between the obligatory actions of worship and non-obligatory actions of worship. The intention distinguishes between the obligatory actions of worship and the non-obligatory actions of worship. Maybe in the morning a person, he can pray two rak'ah, and another one, he'll pray two rak'ah. And they're completely different. Both of them at the same time. One of them is performing an obligatory action and the other one is performing a non-obligatory action. One of them is praying the sunnah of Fajr, the other one is praying the obligatory prayer of Fajr. So we could even mention they both recite the exact same chapters. Both of them recite in their prayer, Al-Kafirun wa Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. Both of them, they pray two rak'ah. Both of them, they bow and prostrate, all generally the same. Rather, exactly the same, but they're not the same. And that which distinguishes between the two is the intention. Both of them are actions of worship. Both of them are seeking nearness to Allah. But this one is obligatory and that one's not obligatory. This one is obligatory and that one's not obligatory. This one, he performed the obligatory prayer. The obligation of that prayer has been lifted. The obligation of that prayer has been lifted. The responsibility of that prayer has been fulfilled. There's no blame on him with regards to that now. As for the other one, he did not fulfill that obligation. It still remains upon him because he only prayed the non-obligatory prayer. So it's still upon him to pray the obligatory prayer. That which distinguishes between these people and their actions is the intention. Is the intention. Likewise, an-niyyah to mayizu bayn al-ibadati nafsiha. Yani because sometimes there's a tashabuh bayn al-ibadat. For example, the prayer. Dhuhr and asr, both of them are four rak'ah and both of them are silent. Both of them are four rak'at and both of them are silent. What distinguishes between the two? The intention. The intention. They're both performed in the exact same manner. Dhuhr and asr, they're both performed in the exact same manner. But that which distinguishes between the two of them is the intention. This one is dhuhr and that one is asr. And that's identified by the intention. So it's even distinguishing from the actions of worship between themselves. Between themselves, likewise. And this one is, he'll identify that it's salat, and then he'll identify that it's an obligatory salat, and now he's identifying which obligatory salat it is. Likewise. So all of this is done by the intention, to identify. That's called ta'yin, or to distinguish. That's called tamyiz. So this is the function. This is the function of the intention. And this, in reality, is very beneficial to learn the details of the intention. And how the intention works, and what is the intention, and what is not the intention, and the proper manner to benefit from that, and the likes. And from this, the Salaf likewise, they would say from them, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir al-Yamami, rahimahullah, he died in the year 132. He said, "Ta'allamu niyyah, fa'innaha ablagu min al-amal." That you must learn the intention. You must learn the intention because it's more serious. Or important, or it's greater than the deed itself. Yani it's greater than the deed itself. So to learn this intention, the intention of ikhlas, the intention of at-taqarrub, and also the intention of identifying the actions. Identifying the actions. So also as has preceded, the intention, it distinguishes between the worship and the deity actions. The actions of worship and the deity customs and actions and habits. Any of the ibadat and the adat. We have ibadat, which are actions of worship, what's intended by way of them, the pleasure of Allah. And then we have adat, which are everyday customs and habits and deeds, eating and drinking and going about through the land, that are just actions that are permissible and lawful. But also with the intention, a person, he's able to turn those adat into ibadat. If he learns how to use the intention, those adat, which are customs, which normally he will not have a reward for. Normally he will not have a reward for them. It's just an everyday actions that are permissible for him. It's allowed for him to eat any of the lawful food and to drink the lawful drink. It's allowed for him to have sexual intercourse with his wife. It's allowed for him to to sleep and the likes like this, to exercise. It's allowed for him to go for a walk, or to take his family for an outing, or to do some type of physical exercise and the likes like this. This is allowed for him to do some type of sports, for example. All this is these are things that are permissible. So long as they're performed in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, the origin is there permissible. The origin is there permissible. But the one who has knowledge of this affair, he's able to turn the likes of these actions into actions of worship and means to draw near to Allah. He's seeking the pleasure of Allah. Likewise, the one who's eating, it's lawful for him to eat. But the one who eats with the intention to strengthen his body, the one who eats with his intention to strengthen his body and to be healthy, and he eats with his right hand, he remembers the name of Allah in the beginning, and he eats with his right hand, and he eats with the intention to be healthy, to be strong, and to be fit, to continue to worship Allah in a good manner, and to be beneficial for himself and his family and his community. And with these intentions like this, now he's turning his eating into actions of worship. The one who goes to sleep with the intention to wake up for the night prayer, or with the intention to wake up in time for Fajr, to pray it in the congregation, to pray the prayer in the proper time. The one who goes to sleep, and he made wudu, for example, before he lay down in bed, and then he made the adhkar before sleeping, and then he lays on his right side, and he falls asleep in this manner. Now his whole sleep is an action of worship. He's gathering between the ikhlas and the mutaba'ah, all in this action here. This now becomes an action of worship. So now he'll fall asleep and have a reward for that until he wakes up. And have a reward for that until he wakes up. The one who sleeps in this manner, even the one who sleeps with the intention to wake up for the night prayer, and then he's overcome by sleep, he has the reward for the night prayer. Allah is the most generous and kind. He's the most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the intention is something that is very beneficial. The intention is something that is very beneficial. So a person, he can turn his whole life in this manner to actions of worship. A person, for example, he's a hard worker. He has lots of obligations to take care of at his job and his occupation with his family. Sometimes he needs to get a break. Sometimes he needs to let his soul rest. He needs to let his soul rest from these obligations and the likes like this. So he'll go play soccer on some day on his free time with his brothers, or play basketball, or lift weights, or go for a jog with one of his brothers and the likes like this. All of this is exercise or a type of sport. Maybe he's having fun. Maybe they're laughing together. But he did it with the intention to get the weight off of his soul. تَرَوَّحْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Need to revive his soul, to take time, to take a break from his work, to let the stress off of his soul, and also to strengthen his body and his mind, and come back strong. And come back and perform those obligations strong in this manner like this. So he would turn these everyday affairs into the likes of these beautiful actions with this beautiful intention, seeking nearness to the most beautiful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, if he's hanging out with his brothers or hanging out with his family, maybe he sees his wife any stressing or struggling with the kids, to go and to make them smile to change the conversation, or to be lighthearted and to put a smile on her face, any for the sake of Allah. Now this is an action of worship. Or sitting in a gathering with the brothers and you're just hanging out together. Then somebody starts to say something maybe that could lead the conversation in a manner that's not pleasing to Allah or not good. And then one, he will remind the brothers, or he will redirect the whole conversation away from that without anybody realizing. And by introducing a new topic which is allowed and beneficial. For example, changing all that with that intention in his heart to keep the conversation and the brothers from delving into the likes of those topics that are not praiseworthy. And now this action with this intention became an action of worship. He's seeking nearness to Allah. And now he's beneficial. Mubarakan ayna ma kan. In this manner, a person yukunu mubarakan ayna ma kan. In this manner, he'll be blessed wherever he goes. Because he has knowledge. Knowledge of the law and the legislation of Allah. And knowledge of this intention and how to benefit from that. And to use it in his best advantage. And to use it in his best advantage. So a person who learns about the intention, he can benefit greatly from that. Even it has been collected authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ صَحِيحٌ. That if a person, he becomes sick or he travels, it will be written for him that which he used to do whenever he was a resident or whenever he was healthy. And this is because of his intention. So a person, for example, who every day he prays the sunan, as sunan al-rawatib, 12 raka, every day he prays 12, sunan al-rawatib, every day. And then he travels. And the sunnah is to not pray them except for the fajr, from the rawatib. But the dhuhr, normally he prays 4 before and 4 after. And the maghrib, he normally prays 2 after. And the isha, he normally prays 2 after. And the likes like this. This is his daily methodology. And now he's traveling. That would be written for him, as if he prayed those prayers. Or if he became sick, even he's a resident, but he became sick, something happened to him, those actions that he had performed daily, and he had the intention to continue performing daily, and he had already initiated that, and then he's prohibited from something outside of his hand because of that good intention, and because of that which has proceeded from his good life, from his past that was upright, now it's all written for him. Now he's sitting in his bed, or he's wherever he may be, and those deeds are continuing to be written for him as if he's performing them. All of this is from that good intention. Having the good intention to do good. Having the good intention to do good. And he's somebody who has the intention, for example, as I mentioned before, to always work to be truthful and sincere to Allah. And from that, for example, to establish the prayer. And then he established that. And then after that, to establish the rawatib. And then he's establishing that. This is the one that we're discussing. Or even a person, for example, he fasts every Ithnain and Khamis, every Monday and Thursday. Every Monday and Thursday he's fasting. This is his way. And he has the intention to continue upon that way. And then he becomes sick. And then he becomes sick. It's written for him. It's written for him. He'll have the reward of that with Allah Azza wa Jal. Or if he traveled and now he's not able to fast, or he doesn't fast because he's traveling, so on and so forth. It's written for him. It's written for him, all because of this beautiful intention. All because of this beautiful intention. So to learn about the intention is very beneficial. To learn about the intention is very beneficial. In this manner, a person, he can turn his life into worship and seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and benefit for himself and for others after that. And for others after that. The author, he mentioned an important point. He says, وَمَحَلُهَا الْقَلْبَ وَمَحَلُهَا الْقَلْبَ. And the place for the intention is in the heart. The place for the intention is in the heart. The intention is nowhere except for the heart. Even if a person, he pronounced it, that's not the intention. The intention is in the heart. The intention is the action of the heart. النية والقصد والإرادة, these are from the actions of the heart. The heart is the one that intends, not the tongue. The tongue doesn't intend. The heart is the one that is able to make intention. So the intention is in the heart. والتلفظ بها بدعة. And to pronounce it out loud is an innovation. To pronounce it out loud is an innovation. All of those years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leading his companions in prayer, radiyallahu anhum, while he's a resident and while he's traveling, in the daytime and in the nighttime, obligatory prayer and non-obligatory prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is either leading them or he's being witnessed. He's either leading them or being witnessed. And the likes of these affairs, and never heard him one time pronouncing the intention for the prayer out loud. That I intend to pray the prayer of Fajr on this day, this many rak'ah, that so on. This was not narrated. It did not happen. Did not happen. Had it happened, it would have been narrated. So this is something, like he's saying, that's an innovation. That's an innovation. And likewise, the intention is something that's easy. It's not something that requires a lot of effort. And if a person did not learn about these affairs, he can be affected in his intention easily by the whispers of the devil. And this is because of having ignorance. So some people, they're affected by the intention. And they'll make the takbiratul ihram one time, two times, three times, while they have wudu, while they're standing in their rank with everybody else, while they're facing the qibla, after the imam said Allahu Akbar. And then he raises hands. And then he raises hands again. And subhanAllah, raising his hands again because he thinks he didn't have the intention. We're asking, why did he come out of his house for? Why did he make wudu for? Why did he come to the masjid for? Why is he facing the qibla for? What's he doing behind the imam? Why is he standing in the row with the people who are preparing to play salat? Why did he wait to raise his hands and say Allahu Akbar after the imam did? He don't have an intention? He has to have an intention. It's not possible. And he had no doubt he has an intention. So he came out of his house, for example, at dhuhr time. He came out of his house at dhuhr time. Or he left his job at dhuhr time. He came to the masjid at dhuhr time, realizing and knowing that it's dhuhr time, and knowing that the dhuhr prayer is an obligation. And the reason why he's coming is to fulfill that obligation. And now he made wudu and he's standing in the rank. He's behind the imam and he raised his hands at this time in this manner and said Allahu Akbar in this way. He does not want anything except to pray dhuhr. He does not want anything except to pray dhuhr. So this is something that's very easy. So this is something that's very easy. A person, he's not able to do anything without an intention. A person, he's not able to do anything without an intention. And he cannot be ordered to do something except with an intention. We're not talking about, for example, somebody backed his car up without looking and accidentally ran into the wall. Now that's an accident. He did it, but that's an accident because of his fault. We're talking about, for example, if somebody said, pray without an intention. Make wudu without an intention. Could you do it? Could somebody fulfill a commandment from the commandments of Allah without intention? Even something from the worldly life. Eat chicken without an intention. Eat that food right there without... No, you can't do it. You have to intend. In order to do it, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. That's one of the meanings of that. That the deeds are only by way of intention. And you mean a person, he cannot do anything without an intention. If somebody said to pray dhuhr without an intention. This is what the people of knowledge, they mentioned, have them in a taklifi bima la yutaq. Bima la yutaq. This is to require somebody to do something that's not possible. It's not possible to ask somebody to make wudu without an intention. And it's not possible for somebody to do that. And if you said to somebody, make wudu without an intention, it's not possible for him to perform that. He will never be able to make wudu without an intention. It cannot happen. Do you understand this? He cannot go and make wudu except he had an intention to go make wudu in the first place. So likewise the prayer, he can't go and pray except he has an intention. So the intention is in the heart, and a person, whenever he wants to do something, that's what he has intended. Anyone ever wants to pray, he prays like this. So with regards to the intention again, on the ibadat, and particularly with regards to the prayer, what does it do? It identifies. It identifies the type of action. So with regards to the prayer, we have different types. You have the fard, the one that's obligatory. And you have the nafil, the one that's not obligatory. You have the prayer that's considered fard, that's an obligatory prayer. And you have a prayer that's considered nafil, it's a non-obligatory prayer. And in the action of worship like this. And then even in the fard of the prayer, you have different ones. You have five daily prayers. You have five daily prayers. So you have to identify these affairs. And likewise, the nafil, the non-obligatory prayer, or the voluntary prayer, there are different types also. There's nafil al-mutlaq wa nafil al-mu'ayyan. There's an absolute non-obligatory prayer, just with no ascription whatsoever. And nafil al-mutlaq, yani as-salat al-itilam tulaf ila shay. It's just salat. It's just prayer. So why is he praying? I'm just praying. Non-obligatory prayer. For no specific reason. It's not any specific type of non-obligatory prayer. It's just a non-obligatory prayer. A non-obligatory prayer. This is allowed for him. It's called a nafil al-mutlaq. And then there are other types of non-obligatory prayer that are called a nafil al-mu'ayyan. It's a specific non-obligatory prayer. And this is the one that's ascribed to something like salat duha or salat ratiba. Like this, the one that is connected to the obligatory prayer, or the one that is the morning prayer, or for example, al-witr. This one is a non-obligatory prayer, but it's ascribed to a specific issue. It's performed for a specific issue. Salat al-istikhara, tahiyyat al-masjid, and the likes like this. So these are prayers that are non-obligatory, but they're specific. They have specific reasons. So therefore we have an obligatory prayer, and we have a non-obligatory prayer. The non-obligatory prayer is two types. The one that has a specific reason, it's a specific non-obligatory prayer, and then we have one that's not specific. It's just in an absolute sense. It's just an absolute sense. So the intention for these are slightly different in certain circumstances. So the obligatory prayer, it must be identified. If a person is praying dhuhr, he has to identify that. If a person is praying dhuhr, he has to identify that with his intention. He has to intend to pray dhuhr. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that with regards to these obligatory prayers, the one who intended to pray the obligation of that time, then this is considered. For example, if a person is at dhuhr time, and in his heart he is intending to come to the masjid to fulfill the obligation of the time that he's in. And maybe he didn't think of dhuhr specifically, but he's coming to the masjid at dhuhr time to fulfill the obligation of that time, the time of the day that he's in. So this is sufficient. This is sufficient, even if he didn't intend dhuhr, but he intended to fulfill fard al-waqt, the obligation of that time. This is sufficient. We understand this. This is sufficient, except in the case whenever he intended something other than the fard of that time. For example, if it was dhuhr time, and he came to the masjid, and he in his heart intended asr, and then he made the takbirah, and then he entered the prayer, and in the middle of the prayer he realized that this is not asr, he made a mistake, this is dhuhr. Now the prayer is not correct, because he made the wrong intention. The prayer is not correct. He made the wrong intention. You understand? So now he wants to pray dhuhr. What does he have to do? Either way. Just change the intention. So he made takbir, he's praying, in his mind he's praying asr. And then after he made the first rak'ah, he realized it's dhuhr. So now he just changes the intention to dhuhr and keep going?
Huh? If he's with jama'ah, uh-huh, he has to cut the prayer and the takbir again. Uh-huh. But if he's by himself, he keep continue as like two rak'ah for optional, yani tanafu. If he's by himself.
Uh-huh.
If he's with jama'ah, he have to cut the then start takbir the haram over.
Ahsant. That's a good details. In general, if he has started like this and he thought that he was in asr, then he realized that he's in dhuhr, he can't just change the intention. He has to stop. He can't change the intention from Asr to Dhuhr. He can't change the intention from Asr to Dhuhr. If he changed the intention to Asr, from Asr to Dhuhr, then both prayers would be invalidated. The Asr would be invalidated for changing his intention, and the Dhuhr would never even start because it has to begin from the beginning. It has to begin from the beginning. So this person, he would have to stop. He would have to start over. He would have to start over. Yani, unless he, like the brother mentioned, is by himself, he can change it to a non-obligatory prayer. The details of this will come. So just so that we see now, it's an obligation to identify the obligatory prayer. Yeah, it's an obligation to identify the obligatory prayer. And what suffices for that is to attend the prayer, to pray the obligation of the time. So like right now, for example, if after the Adhan, it becomes time for Isha. So then whenever we pray the Isha prayer, we have the intention to pray the Isha prayer. If somebody didn't think of Isha, but he just intends to pray the obligation of that time, to fulfill the obligation of that time, he knows that the time right now, and there's an obligation that's in, and he intends that, then this will suffice for the intention. So he wouldn't have to go, oh, I forgot to intend. He didn't think Isha, for example, with this. He shouldn't go to extremes with this. Rather, if he intended to fulfill the obligation of the time, and it was that time, and then he's correct with that, and Allah knows best. So the obligatory prayer, it has to be identified with the intention. The obligatory prayer has to be identified with the intention. And it suffices to intend the obligation of that time, so long as he did not make a mistake and intend an obligation that is not in that proper time. As for al-nafil, al-mu'ayyan, the specific non-obligatory prayer, likewise this one must be identified, because it's specific. The specific non-obligatory prayer, it must be identified. If a person is praying the sunnah before Fajr, he must identify that. He must identify that he's intending to pray the sunnah before Fajr, because it's specific. Although it's not obligatory, it's specific. The sunnah before Dhuhr, the sunnah after Dhuhr, the Duha, the Al-Istikhara, Tahiyyat al-Masjid, so on and so forth. These are specific types of non-obligatory prayers. So in order for them to be considered correct, or to have the reward that's based upon that action, one he must intend that and identify that specific non-obligatory prayer by way of intention. As for an-nafl al-mutlaq, then this one is just an absolute intention. He has the intention to pray, to make salah. No specific type of salah. So now after saying this, the people of knowledge, they discuss the issue of qalbu niyya athna as-salah. Qalbu niyya athna as-salah. To change the intention during the prayer. Changing the intention during the prayer. So to change the intention from an obligation, to change the intention from an obligatory prayer to another obligatory prayer in the middle of the prayer, this is not allowed. So somebody, for example, he intended to pray Asr, and then in the middle of Asr, or sometime after he began, he realized he didn't pray Dhuhr, so now he wants to change his intention. This is not allowed. If the Asr time was not in, and he thought the Asr was in, then it would not even start. And the prayer that he changed his intention to Dhuhr, did not start likewise. So he's praying, he intended to pray Asr, and then if he changed his intention to Dhuhr, now by changing his intention, the first prayer is invalidated. And the second prayer never began, because in order for it to begin, it must be one he must intend from the beginning of the prayer. So therefore this person, he needs to start over. The person who entered into the prayer of Dhuhr with the intention of Asr, and then realized that it's not Asr, it's Dhuhr. Now he's trying to change his intention. No, he can't do that. The prayer is invalidated and he needs to start over. He needs to start over and intend Dhuhr from the very beginning. Changing the obligatory prayer to a specific non-obligatory prayer. Likewise, this is not allowed as well. If a person did this, it would not change. Rather, it would invalidate. For example, somebody, he's praying Dhuhr, and then he wants to change that to, for example, a person is praying Fajr, and he wants to change that to the non-obligatory prayer of Fajr. For example, he started praying Fajr, And then he remembered, oops, I didn't pray the sunnah. So then he changes it to the sunnah of Fajr. Then his prayer is invalidated. His prayer is invalidated because this is a specific, he can't change from this obligatory prayer to a specific non-obligatory prayer, because both of them require to have the intention from the beginning. So now whenever he entered into the prayer for the obligation of Fajr, and then he changed his intention to the sunnah of Fajr, the obligatory prayer was invalidated, and the sunnah of Fajr did not begin, because it's a specific prayer that has to have an intention from the very beginning. So now what does he have to do? Start over entirely. Both prayers have been invalidated. The first one was invalidated in reality, and the other one never even began. So it's not allowed to change the intention from obligation to obligation, nor from obligation to a specific non-obligatory salah. This is not allowed likewise. But to change from an obligatory intention to a nafil al-mutlaq, this is allowed. An absolute non-obligatory prayer that's not attached or ascribed to anything, this is allowed in circumstances whenever it's needed. This is allowed for circumstances whenever it's needed. For example, a person who is in the masjid and he intended and he's praying dhuhr. He came to the masjid and maybe he's not in the community, for example. He came into the masjid, nobody's here. Or he's, for example, and he started praying dhuhr by himself. And then suddenly brothers started coming in and the line's waiting up, and next thing the imam stands up and they make the iqamah. So now he's over there praying dhuhr by himself, and the believers are about to establish the obligation of dhuhr in congregation. So now it's allowed for him to change his intention from the obligation of dhuhr to just a non-obligatory prayer. It's called a nafl al-mutlaq, an absolute non-obligatory prayer. And to get out of that obligatory prayer and make that which is left a non-obligatory prayer, and then to catch the congregation. This is allowed because the intention for the obligatory prayer consists of the intention of salah and the obligatory prayer. You understand? So he's changing his intention to a salah, from salat al-dhuhr to salah. So the intention for salat al-dhuhr consists of salat and dhuhr. So it's allowed for him to change from salat al-dhuhr to just salah, because that intention encompasses that. Because it's not this intention encompasses the issue of a salah. So now instead of praying salat al-dhuhr, now he's just praying salah. But as for if he's, for example, praying salat al-fajr, and now he wants to change it to ratibat al-fajr, now that's specific. So that intention doesn't include that intention. They're two completely different intentions. We understand that? The intention of the obligation of Fajr and the Sunnah of Fajr, these are two specific prayers with specific intentions. One of them does not include the other. But if a person had intended to pray an obligatory prayer, and then he just changed that to an absolute prayer, not obligatory, then that intention initially entails and includes the intention of praying. So therefore it's allowed in certain circumstances where it's in his best interest. It's not allowed to just change the intention from an obligatory to an nafl mutlaq just whenever a person likes, but rather if he's in a circumstance where he needs to, like the example here that was made. So likewise you can do the same thing as well with the nafl al-mu'ayyin. And if he can do that with the farḍ to the nafl mutlaq, then he can do it with the nafl mu'ayyan to the nafl mutlaq. Likewise, if he had intended to pray a specific non-obligatory prayer, and then he needed to change that to just an absolute prayer, then it's allowed for him likewise. Because that intention for the specific prayer includes the intention for prayer. We understand this? الحمد لله هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم